This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
My dear friends, is the music that awaits me as I enter the station every morning. I've always been very pleased that they play that. Actually, that's a very thoughtful idea, Big Ed. That was the Olympics. What do they call it? The Olympics orchestration or something? Every time we start the Olympics now, no matter what station it's on, that's what they play. Anyway, good morning. And welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. We do Olympic-style broadcasts here all the time, we think. I am Paul Molloy, and along with Big Ed, we thank you for joining us. It is Monday, February the 7th. I was watching some of that Olympic stuff over the weekend, but I'm reading today that it's getting very few viewers in terms of the overall response to it. I wonder if it has anything to do with the fact that it's in China. A lot of people are upset about that. Anyway, in a few minutes, we are going to be talking with Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute on the very positive January job numbers. They're great. And how Congress and the president should stay out of the way. Leave them alone. Don't meddle with it. Don't touch a good thing, right? Stay tuned for that. And President Biden welcomes the German Chancellor to the White House today, as some are criticizing Germany for its seeming lack of commitment to the Ukraine cause. I wonder if Biden's going to talk about that. We'll get some thoughts on that and other things from our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi, a little bit later in the show, so stay tuned for that as well. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says that capitalism is not redeemable. Not redeemable. Oh, really? We're going to take a look at what she said. Stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, we have listed, as of 2022, the top 10 best universities in the world. In the world. Stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, I'm telling you, you got to get over to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. It's located just off State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza. Call for your appointment, please, 727-733-3773. So, Ed, I got to ask you, since you were wise enough to play the opening Olympic theme, did you watch any of the Olympics at all? And if you did, what particular sports did you watch?
I keep trying to watch it, but every time I tune it in, it's women's hockey. And nothing against women's hockey, but it's like watching men's hockey in mud.
Yeah,
it's just slow and boring.
Now, the USA was taking apart Switzerland when I was watching it. Did you see that?
Every time I did, and the next time it was curling. And I was like, oh,
now,
come
wait,
on.
Now, don't you... I am becoming very interested in curling. In fact, I'm pushing to have a curling lane put in Norton's. You know where that is?
Oh, Lord.
You know, tongue-in-cheek a little bit. But curling's interesting. You ever watch it? It's like, you know how billiards is played where you hit one ball to move it somewhere else and you gotta get them to a certain... You know, curling is like that. It's like shuffleboard a little bit, right? It's not that... boring once you know what's going on with
There's
it.
A knockoff on the internet. People, you know those little round robot vacuums that you have in your house?
Yes.
And people in front of that with their brooms, you know.
I gotta see that. That's cute. Exactly. Anyway, President Biden and German Chancellor Olaf Scholz are expected to be talking significantly
about what is going on in the Ukraine. Now, you got to remember, Germany is in a very precarious position. There is a pipeline that has just been created, runs under the Baltic Sea, by the way, between Germany and Russia. And Russia is supposed to start flowing oil, energy, into that pipeline to Germany. So now, where is Germany going to stand when it comes to the Ukraine and the possible invasion by Putin? They are in a very precarious position. So here's Biden and Olaf Scholz from Germany. They're going to be talking about this. I wonder what Biden will say to him if he doesn't fall asleep. I wonder what he will say to him about any of that. I wonder if he's going to threaten him. If he's going to tell him, look, we need you to be involved in showing your connection to NATO. Just because you're getting oil from Russia, they're doing a bad thing here. So we'll see where that goes. According to an official at the White House, Biden and Scholz will speak significantly about Ukraine and Russia. They would discuss their hope for a diplomatic resolution. Now, here's a question. Everybody's betting on when, if at all, Putin is going to invade the Ukraine. Well, I don't think he's going, and some people are saying it'll be any day now. He will not invade the Ukraine while the Olympics are going on. How bad would that look? That would be the worst. I mean, it's bad enough he would invade them at all, but think about it. You got the Olympics going on, China trying to make a good impression. You got the Ukraine with people at the Olympics, right, that are performing. You've got the Russians performing over there. How would that look if Putin go and Putin showed up at the Olympics the other
day? Well, technically, Russia's not representing the Olympics. They're not as Russia.
No, that's right.
They're known as
ROC.
The Russian Olympic Committee, I think?
Something like that, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right about that.
Of course, that really scared them off, didn't it?
Oh, it certainly did. So Putin showed up. Did you see him? He was sitting by himself up in the stands during the ceremonies. And it was very interesting. When Ukraine, you know how they were sending each of the countries in?
Mm-hmm.
When the Ukraine came in, he was asleep, or he was doing something where he wasn't showing any attention to the Ukraine.
He was looking through the program.
I just don't think he's going to invade during the Olympics. I think he might, though, as soon as the Olympics ends. That's when I'm worried
about
it.
In other words, as soon as they put the torch out, he's going to light the torch over there.
That's right. Mm. Yeah. It's a very delicate situation. Anyway, let's take our break. When we come back, we're going to change gears a little bit. Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute is going to tell us why President Biden and the Congress should bug off when it comes to trying to do anything about the very positive job numbers.
Late December back in 63. What a very special time for me. As I remember what a night.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hello, this is Marvelous Marv, speaking to you from my undisclosed hidden location. I will be with you on the first Monday of every month on the Tan Talk Radio Network at 9 p.m. playing great doo-wop and classic golden oldies, maybe even a little commentary. Until then, ciao.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday, a little bit cooler again here in Tampa Bay, a little overcast. But hey, we'll take it. Looking at what the weather is like up north. Delighted to have one of our buddies. He's been out with us many times, Sean Higgins, a great research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And we're going to talk about the, we had great numbers, Sean, for January, 467,000 jobs were added. It really shocked everybody, I think, including the White House. But you're not so big on Congress or even Biden getting maybe meddling too much into this. What's going on there?
Good morning.
Good morning.
The numbers were a whole lot better than we sort of anybody kind of expected. And to the extent that there's anything negative in there, it's just simply that the COVID, the surge in the Omicron over December chilled what would have been really great numbers if that hadn't happened. And so really what this shows is that the economy is, recovering. People are sort of getting back to work. We're sort of reaching an equilibrium where employers are offering more money to get more people out. More people are starting to look. I mean, the unemployment rate actually ticked up slightly by about 0.1%, which was actually kind of a good thing because it means that there's more people out there actively looking for jobs, because one of the big problems has been there's been a lot of people who just sort of dropped out. So things are getting better. The problem is, it can always get worse. And if something like the vaccine mandate that Biden was trying to put together last year actually does become a thing, and they're still trying to do that, they've just sort of changed their track on that a little bit, then we have suddenly a huge law which says employers with more than 100 people have to fire people who don't have or aren't complying perfectly with the requirements there, and that's just going to create another suck on the job situation.
Yeah.
Another decline in the economy, and it's just not necessary. And by the time it comes out, whatever this rule is, it's going to be months down the road, in which case, the situation is going to change completely from what it is today anyway, so it's going to be completely outdated by the time it's released.
Yeah, is that the America Competes Act? That's a scary thing right to begin with. The America Competes Act. I never liked those kinds of things. Why doesn't the government and Biden realize now, get out of this whole thing with the pandemic? The governors of each state have got things pretty well in hand, I would say, in terms of their own people. It's their job more than it is the federal government's job. And of course, with the numbers showing that people are going back to work, what the heck? Do they just have to justify their existence? Is that why Congress and Biden are talking about doing something?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, if they're not doing something along these lines where they're not acting as though they're the one sort of steering the ship, then they wonder, well, then what is the purpose?
What am I doing here?
Being here. And essentially a fear of, don't let people realize that, we aren't actually central.
We make no difference. Only bad. Yeah, exactly. So we've got a lot of things going on the world stage. I mean, not to belittle the important function of Congress. We got the Ukraine situation. We got the border situation. We do have a lot of things to worry about. And
they should be paying more attention to
exactly
trying to sort of fix the COVID stuff.
Exactly. So maybe they're starting to see that. You would hope that they are to some extent. The Democrats actually, it's in the Senate. They've actually lost their majority. They've got a guy that's ill that can't make it to the vote. So they're not going to do anything for a while because they don't want to bring up any legislation that won't pass. This America Competes Act, I mean, it's not going to go anywhere, right?
No, I don't expect it will. And they can't get anything done precisely because they're just relying on a simple, pure majority to get everything through and not trying to get anything over with the other side. I mean, the whole art of negotiation and compromise and trying to bring over some people from the other side and create a sort of half a loaf solution that everybody can live with has just been completely lost over the last decade or so, decade and a half or so. And nobody... It's been so lost that people don't even think to do it anymore, which is the sort of amazing part. So it's like, literally all it takes is one person getting sick to run things aground. And in a sense, I'm not actually that upset about it because sometimes it's better to just do nothing.
Exactly.
Bad.
Exactly. The less they do, the better off we all will be. You would think that they would understand that a little bit,
I've often wondered, this is just, I'm going to throw this out there. I watch these senators and these congressmen showing up on all the talk shows with their pancake makeup and their, you know, all of that. But I wonder, I would love to follow these guys around all day and see what they actually do. Because what they, it seems to me they actually do is wander around to look for a camera. Because there's not really anything going on. I mean, maybe they show up in their office for a few minutes. But if people really realize what these people do and the money that they're getting paid to do it, I think there'd be a revolution.
As a former congressional reporter, I can tell you your assessment is pretty much on point.
I wish it wasn't. Go ahead.
To a large extent, what a lot of lawmakers do is basically just sort of justify their existence by doing a lot of sort of public appearances, you know, talking to reporters, you know, or appearing at events and that type of stuff, but just essentially making it look as though they're very busy. One of the reasons why I think so much of what Congress tries to do is them just trying to get, like, earmarks and little bits of, you know, spending for something in a bill is because it's one of the few things that they can do where they can sort of turn around and put out a press release and say, I got this thing, this accomplishment. It went to, you know, the school teachers for my district or whatever it is. And that's sort of how they justify themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because getting like a big piece of legislation or something like that passed is very rare.
Assuming, Sean, by the way, we're talking with Sean Higgins, research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're talking about the January job gains numbers, which were very positive. Surprised everybody, including, I think, the Democrats in the White House. Assuming that they don't do a doggone thing, really, between now and November. And, of course, the closer we get to November, the less chance there is that anything is going to get done.
Right.
What do you think? How long is it going to be? Do you, in terms of our supply chain issue and the high prices, are they here to stay for the rest of the year, or do you see them getting better, getting worse? You know what I mean? Staying the same? Any thought on that at all?
I see it getting better, but not changing dramatically. I mean, one of the reasons why we're having the supply chain crisis, and it was sort of petering out a bit at the end of last year, and then when Omicron came about, that just sort of gunked everything up again another time, because then you had a whole bunch of people staying home and a lot of people not doing stuff, but just not appearing elsewhere because they literally couldn't. And that's what sort of caused that spike, and that's going to fade out and stuff. But we're still going to have a lot of the sort of underlying problems we have. I mean, this whole system is very rickety. You know, they're still negotiating. The West Coast ports are still negotiating their new contract, and they haven't, you know, gotten that far with that. And they're doing things like part of what they're doing is they're opposing all automation of the ports on the West Coast and elsewhere. So that's not going to mean that they're going to have those ports are going to get any more efficient. We're still seeing, you know, a lot of, you know, shortage of truck drivers and other sort of logistics issues that are going to, you know, gunk things up. Now, that's going to phase out over time as more people sort of get into those professions and the, you know, we see that happen. But it's not going to happen really quickly. I think we're going to be stuck with sort of rising inflation as a consequence of that sort of tightness of the supply chain. And then the rising of the wages, which is, you know, a consequence of them trying to get people into the workforce, and that's sort of having a. We're getting back to a sort of situation from about a couple of decades ago, where we had wages rising and then inflation rising in tandem with it, because the two things were sort of feeding on each other.
Right. In fact, we're losing the battle, are we not? The inflation is rising a little bit better, or a little not better, but a little bit higher and quicker. Than wages. So, does the administration realize they can't do anything really, and that they should stay out of the way when it comes to, as an example, the supply chain issue? You know, you get Biden showing up; he's rattling his chains about, you know, we're getting involved and we're going to speed things up. You know, and we're going to do that. They're not going to do anything except get in the way, much like with the job numbers. They should maybe stay the hell out of the way and let the suppliers and the truckers and the ports kind of figure this out, right?
A really smart, savvy, you know, politician, leader, and some of your listeners may blanch at me saying this, but somebody like Bill Clinton probably could get down at a table and hammer out some type of deal between the ports and the unions and that type of stuff to where everybody gets a little bit of something and things move along a little faster. But a politician of that skill is pretty rare.
You mean to tell me that Biden isn't like that?
He doesn't have.
Not quite the Bill Clinton type, huh?
He doesn't have that rare sort of level of political skill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about the I'm trying to.
You're being very kind. You know that, and so does everybody else. Go ahead. So we know that he's not going to be able to go into a room and figure anything out on this. But you do think that Clinton or somebody like that could actually make things better?
I'm saying it's possible that there could be a leader who could sort of get in there and knock heads together and
could Trump?
Things going a little better.
What about Trump? He's got business savvy.
That's a good question. I mean, he did actually have a lot of history of sort of dealing with unions because he was in the real estate business and he had to deal with construction ones a lot. That said, his reputation and that sort of level of business is kind of mixed. I mean, you hear different things from other people. And whether he could sort of get everybody on the same page and sort of agreeing with them at the same time, I'm not sure. I mean, that's an interesting hypothetical. I couldn't give you a good answer on it, though.
No problem. But the job numbers seem to be really good. I mean, now I'm wondering, you know, in February we may go the other way again, and then we're going to be back to the square one going, oh, my God, look how terrible things seem to be. Do you think that the job numbers will continue to get better, Sean?
I think they'll continue to get better. Hopefully they'll start to accelerate. One of the issues we've had is there's just a lot of people who aren't re-entering the workforce. And what it seems to be is that for various reasons, a lot of people have just fallen out of the habit of working. I mean, in some cases, it was easier to stay home because of the payments. Other people, I mean, we've had a lot of psychological problems, you know, people just sort of getting either depression or that type of stuff. And a lot of people are just sort of holding out. I mean, there used to be the case that finding a good job was very difficult, and you had to be out there looking all the time, and you were afraid of losing the job you had. People don't have that fear anymore. There's so many openings and a lot of opportunities, and people are sort of willing to wait and see if things get better rather than take something that they don't necessarily.
Yeah, that's a good point. But they got to have a little money in the bank. They're not receiving any of these free checks anymore. Most of them, I guess.
But
go ahead.
But people did save a lot of money during the COVID thing. That was one of the interesting phenomenons of it. Is because people weren't going out, they weren't eating in restaurants, they weren't taking vacations, they weren't spending a whole lot of money on some outdoor things they may do. People did save more money over the consequences, so it's easier for them to sort of.
So they've hoarded a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting point, yeah. So therefore, they're going to wait a little bit longer, be a little bit more picky about what's available. And so is that part of the reason we saw good job numbers, as an example, in January, that say a lot of people wanted to get past the holiday season before they went back to work?
I think that's probable. I mean, and we are seeing wages and benefits and other stuff getting actually pretty good in a lot of areas and professions, and that is attracting people back. So we're starting to see that. Now, whether or not the employers can sustain that remains to be seen, and if we have another supply chain shock, that'll set everything. It's the functional equivalent of a kid coming by and just like grabbing the checker table and flipping it up because they're upset. So, we'll just have to start all over again
with
that, unfortunately. But, it's gradually getting better, and it has been gradually getting better for a long time. The problem is it's just so damned gradual.
Yes. Gradual is driving us crazy. Sean, it's always a pleasure having you on. We've had you on many times over the years, and I look forward to many more. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Sean Higgins. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Angelo Ceresi, Our Eye in the Northern Sky. And we're going to talk about all kinds of things, including a comeback by ex-Governor Cuomo.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday for Freedom Works, and we are delighted you are with us. Well, this guy just won't go away. Former governor from New York, Andrew Cuomo, and his aides are intensifying an effort to revive his public standing, including how to make his first public appearance since resigning in August. His remaining aides have been calling former allies and operatives to complain about the Attorney General for New York, Letitia James, who went after him with a pitchfork and concluded that he had sexually harassed 11 women, including current and former state employees. What does he think, that people are going to just welcome him back? We've got the our eye in the northern sky with us, Angelo Cerisi. Angelo, are you waiting with anticipation for the re-arrival of Andrew Cuomo?
Yeah, we all are.
Really? Are you surprised?
It's going to work.
Are you surprised that he would even attempt something like this, especially so soon?
Yeah, I really am surprised that he would even try to think about it. Unbelievable. These people, especially the Democrats, boy, they hate to give up what they had. They hate to give up that nut that they got, you know?
Also, I think, do you not think that once they get into a position of power, like a governorship of New York, for example, in particular, that there's a, I'm really better than I really am, kind of, I can do no wrong, or, you know, even when I do wrong, I don't do wrong. You know what I mean? They become, they kind of sanctify themselves a little bit, and they feel that they can come back. Their conscience has probably gone out the window at this point, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, they believe they don't do anything wrong, or whatever it is in their mindset that, They don't understand that they've done something wrong. They just don't believe it, that they're better than we are, you know. They don't call them elitists for nothing, you know.
Maybe he can get a job at CNN.
Or maybe he can get a job on The View.
I'd love it. He could host The View. Now, that's an excellent idea, if he was a woman in particular. Ah, he dresses up with a nice, you know, chiffon outfit and goes on. He could be a member of The View, now that I think about it.
Right. There's an opening right now for The View. Poor Whoopi has been suspended.
Poor Whoopi. That's another thing. Whoopi Goldberg, what do you think about that? Let me give you something to chew on here. The Jewish people, I always thought, were more of an ethnic group. Now, I know that people will say, well, the Germans considered them a race. I think they're kind of a, they're all over the place, but I always looked at them as more of a culture and an ethnic group. What's your thought on that?
From when I was a kid, you were brought up that it was a race or an ethnic group. Mm-hmm. I probably could go either way, you know?
Yeah. It's not like a Hispanics are one race and blacks are another race and Caucasians are another race. Jews are like more of a culture and, to me, an ethnic group. But, mm-hmm. but of course, so Whoopi Goldberg, by the way, how did she come up with the name Goldberg? Was that?
Probably a stage name.
I'm wondering. I mean, it's a very Jewish name.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a stage name that she chose, you know.
Okay.
But, you know, I saw an article yesterday in our Democratic Chronicle newspaper that Whoopi Goldberg should be, she was very apologetic. She should be, you know, she did apologize, blah, 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 this and that, that we should accept it. Well, wait a minute. What about Roseanne Barr?
Roseanne Barr is gone. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, and she was one of them that ridiculed her, right?
You're correct.
She's Rogan, she says he should be fired, right?
But correct.
Yeah, and so they want a
double standard. It's a double standard.
Do whatever they want. Like, you know, like Mario Cuomo. They feel that they don't do anything wrong. They just don't.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about Andrew Cuomo. He could take over for Mario Cuomo, who's been fired, along with the other guy, Zucker. Jeff Zucker at CNN is gone. So Mario could come in. I mean, not Mario.
Andrew.
Andrew could come in, getting all mixed up. And he could do the show. And that could, and then he could launch himself. Maybe he could become the next mayor of New York.
Yeah, small steps and then become governor again.
Oh, goodness.
These people, they just want that power. They love that power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these politicians, they want to be called governor, senator, congressman. They feed on that stuff, you know.
I got another question for you. I asked this of Ed. We're coming off the first weekend of the Olympics. Have you been watching it at all?
No, I have not.
Yeah, ha. I've been reading that their numbers of viewership is really low. Are you not watching it because, A, you're not interested, B, it's coming out of China, C, a little bit of A and B both?
Well, usually I'd watch sports and stuff like that, but not because it's because of China. I mean, you know,
So it is China that's keeping you from watching it.
I don't, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They have ridiculed the United States so bad, it's unbelievable.
I think a lot of people are tuning it out because of that.
Yeah.
They're tuning it out. Do you remember when President Jimmy Carter decided we were not going to send our athletes to the Olympics in Russia?
Yes, I remember that.
I remember that, too.
I was working in the post office at the time, and I got stamps that they, you know, when the Olympics were canceled.
Right.
He printed the stamps for the Olympics.
Were they ever published, used, those stamps?
I've never used them. Some people may have used them, but they took them out of circulation.
They're probably worth a lot.
Yeah, someday they probably
they
will
are.
Be, you know.
What did you think about Jimmy Carter's decision not to send us to the Olympics then?
Well, that was a good move on his part. I think he did something good once in a while.
Mm-hmm. I kind of understood it at the time and thought, you know what? I think that's probably a good idea because it was like 1980 and there was all kinds of trouble going on. And yeah. Moscow was going to hold those Olympics and the whole bit. So do you think it's a similar situation?
You know,
I'm sorry?
That's when they had to take over the embassy in Iran.
Yes, that's another thing that occurred. You're right.
And there was a lot of stuff.
All of that.
Every time the Democrats get in power, there's always these crises happening, you know?
Yeah.
For reason.
We were also talking earlier about whether or not Putin, if he was going to invade Ukraine, would wait until after the Olympics were over. And I made the point that I think he would be crazy to invade while the Olympics were going on. It would be a horrible, in my opinion, a horrible public relations moment.
Either that or Xi Jinping, and he had a discussion about it and says, hey, you got my blessing, go ahead and do it, you know?
But, I mean, if the Olympics are going on, first of all, wouldn't that take away from China's a desire to get good, positive recognition? I mean, I would think that China would say, don't you dare do anything while the Olympics are going on. Wait until we're through.
Maybe, you know, the U.S. government, you know, it's called, isn't it called wag the tail or wag the dog?
Yeah, wag the dog.
To get the spotlight off the president, you know, come up with all these things.
Yeah, well, that could be too.
I mean, you know, I mean, the Russians do have the Ukraine surrounded. I mean, something's got to be going on, right? Why would he Why would he surround it?
Yeah. I want to ask you a question, Angela. We're talking with our eye in the northern sky. He's very close to the Canadian border, by the way. How far away are you from the Canadian border there in Rochester?
Well, I'm just probably about an hour away.
Okay.
60 miles away.
Have you been following this trucker thing and the COVID? And
I'm behind him 100%.
So you're behind the truckers that are saying, we don't want this mandate going on, and the Prime Minister Trudeau should bug out of this.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of it on the news up here, you know. They talk about it a lot.
Yep.
And, I'm not too far, just right down to Buffalo, New York, Niagara Falls, right down, you know, 60 miles away.
Oh, okay. Right. And that's an entry point right there.
Or as the crow flies, right across the lake, Lake Ontario is right.
Lake Ontario, yeah.
We're right on Lake Ontario, right in the borders, right there. You know,
got it.
Right across the lake.
Yeah,
we're as far north as we can get. know, to the Canadian border. I mean, Saturday was like 3 below 0 here Saturday morning.
Was it really 3 below?
-3.
How many inches of snow?
Well, we had about 2 foot of snow in the last 2 storms we had. We had a lot of snow.
Wow.
I'd say there's probably about maybe a couple of foot on the ground, maybe about a foot and a half now, because it's melting a little bit. So, the sun gets higher, you know?
Yeah, so people in Rochester, they are hardy souls. Are they tramping about outside, or do they tend to pull in their horns a little bit when it's this much snow?
No, we go out. We're used to it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you grow up in this weather, and I can never understand why my parents settled up this way. But
I came from Winnipeg. I always wondered why my parents were in Winnipeg, but then their parents were in Winnipeg, and their parents were in Winnipeg.
He made the move years ago.
Yeah. So are people in the Rochester area coming back out without the masks? Or, I mean, what is the mood with the virus these days in Rochester? Are people masking up more so than they were before, or
they're taking the masks off now, I guess.
More so.
The mandate is to expire this Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
The governor and supposedly, you know, our numbers are really going down now. A lot of people are going out without masks. I mean, I'll be honest with you. You go into the restaurants and stuff.
I think people are realizing this particular variation is not as it's weaker in terms of what it can do, right?
I would
Omicron.
Yeah, it seems really weaker.
Yeah. What is the price of gasoline per gallon right now there in Rochester?
How much is it?
Yeah,
$3.60 a gallon.
$3.60. Ed, I looked at Ed's falling asleep, but Ed, I looked at our gallons of gas is around $3.40 now, isn't it? So we're about 20 cents less. Okay.
$3.49
or $3.50. We're 10 cents less.
If you get gasoline without ethanol that we have up here, I guess you guys have it down there too.
Yeah,
it's over $4 a gallon.
Wow, unbelievable, unbelievable.
I mean, you have to use in the generators that we have up here and the snowblowers and everything. You have to use that non-ethanol gasoline, and it's over $4 a gallon now.
Let me ask you something else. Is somebody running for the governorship this November?
Lee Zeldin. He's the one that's running. He's on the Republican.
Does he have a chance? Do the Republicans have a chance of winning New York?
You know, the way they just redistricted New York, the governor just signed into law, and I guess it's being challenged in court. But they aligned the districts. They did their gerrymandering. They have, the Democrats are solidified in 22 out of the 26 districts.
They are. So it doesn't sound like
they
it's...
They hold an advantage in 22 districts out of 26.
But don't you think that people are looking at all the things that are going wrong and saying, the heck with what I'm registered as?
You would think, you know, I mean...
I mean, are they that blinded to everything that's going wrong right now?
Yeah, I mean, they got this gerrymandering, and I'm sure the Republicans do it too, but it's like, you know, downstate New York City, and, I mean, look, they put these same people in all the time. And they just don't give. The crime is going up.
Crime's up. Prices are up.
Where are you putting
shelving with stuff is down. I mean, everything's going in a negative with the Democrats in power.
Right. But then again, look at California. They put that idiot in again. They had a chance to start fresh and everything, but they
put Governor Newsom. Yeah.
Governor Newsom. They put him in, and then they complain about, you know, you get on the news. Look at the railroad tracks over here with packages. They're robbing from the trains.
Yeah, that's true.
And the needles. And the defecation in the
street. I can't believe that they would allow it. Yeah, you're right. No, you're right.
The same holds true for New York. New York is just mini California.
Yeah.
They just keep doing the same thing
over and over again.
And you cannot, you know.
I'm just thinking that maybe, there's some common sense, even among Democrats in the state of New York, where there's a chance that, especially with what happened to Cuomo, there's a chance that a Republican might, you know, become their governor.
You never know. Last Republican governors we had was Nelson Rockefeller.
Was it really that long ago?
And George Pataki. That was it.
And Pataki and Rockefeller weren't what you would call really strong right-wingers, right?
No, they were moderate.
They were more moderate, yeah.
But those were the last two Republicans. Yeah. Other than that, forget it.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, it's the same thing in New York State, like California.
Yeah.
It's just the same people putting in the same...
Same over and over.
Same old, yeah. You know, and it doesn't change.
No. Angelo, it's a pleasure as always. Angelo, it's a pleasure to talk with you as always. Thank you so very much for calling in today, buddy. And stay warm up there.
We're trying. It's 31 degrees, heat wave.
Oh, it is. All right. Thanks, Angelo.
Take care.
All right. All right, in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi. We're going to take our break. When we come back, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she says, capitalism is not redeemable. Oh, really? We'll talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back for the final segment of Freedom Works on a Monday. We thank you so very much for being with us. Freedom Works is here with you Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on the Tantalk Radio Network and 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. But if you cannot listen to us live, thanks to Big Ed and his work, he puts us on podcasts. So you can go to our website, listen to our shows anytime, ourfreedomworks.com. OurFreedomWorks.com. All right. So, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. By the way, she used to be a bartender, if I remember that right. Maybe she was a waitress. I think she was called a bartender. So she should know something about capitalism and spending money and how it works. She said capitalism, quote, is not a redeemable system. Not a redeemable system for Americans, and it represents a, quote, pursuit of profit, unquote, pursuit of profit with disregard for any human environment and social consequence run by an elite minority. Oh, I see. An elite minority. So all of these people across this country that run the mom-and-pop stores and have their little businesses, are they part of that elite minority that she's talking about? People that struggle to sell their products in their stores or hire themselves out. They do work, you know, in home or whatever else they're doing. She says they can control our labor. She's talking about capitalists, I guess. They can control our labor. They can control massive markets that they dictate and can capture governments. Think about that. This woman is really mixed up. The whole concept of the freedom of our country is based on the right for people to go out and work in a capitalistic society. Try to make a profit, try to sell a product, try to coexist with other people that are doing the same thing. Try to make products that people need and will purchase. Here's another part of what she said. By the way, she said this on Yahoo Finance on Thursday of last week. She said, and they can essentially have power over the many. And to me, that is not a redeemable system for us to be able to participate in for the prosperity and peace for the vast majority of people. So if you get rid of capitalism, AOC, what are you going to replace it with? And you think you're going to get peace and prosperity in return for what? Taking away the right of people to go out and create a product in the free market? You want to take that right away and replace it with what? A government telling people what to do when it comes to creating and selling products? That going to give you peace and prosperity for the vast majority of people? So she doesn't think it through. She doesn't think the concept of capitalism through. And people that go after corporations, they try to villainize, I guess the word is, corporations. Well, what are corporations? AOC is one of the big villainizers, of course. Corporations are made up of people that purchase stock. I have it. Ed, you probably have some, even if you don't know it. But with 401ks or with mutual funds or whatever else, we buy a little piece of a corporation. So it's the mother, ma and pa and, you know, granny and uncle and aunt and nephew and niece and all of these people that have little shares in these companies. They do that because they want to get dividends. They want to make money. They purchase shares. Mutual fund companies do that. They purchase shares in different stocks, different corporations. That's how this country works. That's how it works. And we all have an opportunity. I've made, frankly, a lot of money in mutual funds over the years. And I know nothing about corporations, but I would put it into mutual funds on a regular basis. Every month, I would put a certain amount of money into these mutual funds. And now, you know, over all these years, it paid off. But that's what America is all about. And then you get somebody like her coming along.
You have to remember, she's a socialist.
She's an idiot. She's a socialist idiot. She really is. Before we get to our top 10, Ed, I want to ask you, is there anything going on with, I saw the Hockey All-Stars, which is a dull thing. Yeah. Then I watch, then there's the Pro Bowl. That's another dull
that's
game.
That's ridiculous. I don't even know why they don't play
people
defense.
Talk. I'd no rather tackling. Watch the Olympics than either one of those.
No tackling, nothing. Yeah. I couldn't even watch it. It was just a joke.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
So was the hockey thing.
Just put flags on them and get it over with.
Exactly.
I'm serious.
You're right. You are right. All right. Hey, we have a new best universities. This came, by the way, from Forbes magazine. The top 10 world's best universities in 2022. They went through a big data thing on it. And I thought it would be appropriate for people to find out a little bit more about it. So here we go. The top 10 world's best universities. Number 10. University of Chicago is number 10. It was created in 1890. Thanks in large part to John D. Rockefeller, the oil tycoon, one of the most prestigious, rigorous universities in the country. Okay, number 9. the Imperial College of London. It offers a 12-month MBA program in a global center for business. One of their highlights, Global Experience Week, where the class travels to another country for an intensive week-long trip exploring businesses in an international context. Number eight. Hey, Yale University in Connecticut, one of the world's most prestigious elite universities, fourth oldest institution in the U.S., chartered in 1701. Wow, even before our Declaration of Independence. Number seven, Princeton. Princeton University in New Jersey, founded in 1746 as the College of New Jersey, fourth oldest institution of higher education in the country. Number six. Hey, another one of these Ivy Leaguers. Harvard is number six. Hey, that was founded in 1636. Holy Toledo. The oldest higher education institution in the country. Number five. California Institute of Technology. Private university in Pasadena, California, founded as a prep and vocational school in 1891. Number four. Ed, did you go to the Massachusetts Institute of Technology?
No, no.
Did you ever drive by it?
No.
Okay. Well, that's number four. Magnet for highly competitive, engaged, brainy students, founded in 1861. Number three. Ever go to Stanford University area?
I was thinking that was going to be number one. That I was old enough. Number one.
They could have been. Stanford is a private research university near Palo Alto, California. That was founded in 1891. Number two, Cambridge in England. Mm. You know that it dates back to the 13th century?
Mm.
13th century. Let's see. Queen Elizabeth officially opened the business school's central building in 1995, by the way. All right. That one should give you a hint of who is number one. And you want to even get, you want a farthing, I guess, as to what's the number one worldwide?
Well, I'm thinking it's over in England somewhere.
It is. It's not far from Cambridge.
Yeah, I don't know the school. I don't know the school in England.
It's okay. It's Oxford.
Oxford.
Oxford, you know. There's evidence of teaching in Oxford as early as 1096, making it the oldest university in the English-speaking world. It has 39 semi-autonomous colleges. All are self-governing. It operates the world's oldest university museum, and it has the largest university press in the world. It educated 28 prime ministers, and it has 72 Nobel laureates who either study there, worked there, or held a fellowship there. Pretty prestigious, I would say. Okay. Well, that is it, my friends. We are so delighted you spent a little bit of time with us. We will be back on Wednesday. Stay warm, and always remember, freedom works.
Shoo, 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 sh